Okay, we're going to call the meeting to order. We do have a quorum, so we're ready to go. Representative Doty, have you reviewed the minutes from February 16th?
I have. I move their I move their approval.
Any discussion on the minutes from February 16th? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Minutes approved. All right. The first bill on the agenda today is House File 300, Representative Hawes and Representative Severson. Okay, Representative Hawes, would you like to move your bill to get it before the committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move House File 300, and I also have an amendment.
Okay, Representative Hawes moves House File 300 before this committee and recommends that it be passed and referred to Ag Policy, Rural Economies, and Veterans Affairs Policy Committee. Representative Hawes, would you like to move your amendment to get the bill in the shape you would like it?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move amendment House File 300A1, and this amendment brings this bill into congruency with, it will be congruent to the governor's bill, which is pretty identical, but some of the benefits move out in increments rather than right away, so it makes it more affordable in the initial years. And as you, Mr. Chair and committee members, as you see all these bills coming, not only from us but others, you're going to have many good ideas and only one little leprechaun to provide the pot for. So we want to get it as tiny and as benefited as possible. So that's what that amendment does.
Okay, thank you, Representative Hawes. Representative Hawes moves Amendment H300A1. Any discussion to the amendment? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion prevails. Okay, Representative Hawes, would you like to explain your bill?
Yes, I will. And thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. And I'm going to ask the co-author here also to explain the grassroots process of these bills that we're presenting. And also, you know that the governor has picked some of these bills to highlight and move them down. So they're moving from the grassroots up and from the top of the tree down in order to get this. So this is really not just a co-author Severson or co-author Hawes's idea. This really comes from the military and veterans themselves. This bill exempts retirement pay and military pay. Military pay, in many cases, is exempt for those who are doing service out of state or are doing service in times of war or in a war zone, that is, but this extends that a little bit more. Military retirement pay is something that's happening in many states. It's happened in 42 states. And one of the competitive factors, it's happened in all our border states. So when people are coming out of service and they're going to say, I'm going to retire, where should I retire? And if it's going to cost you more money to retire in Minnesota than it does in Wisconsin, and you're real smart, it's not much of a drive, is it? So we really want these people back. Now, I can verify that retirement is good. I have retired 3 times, and I've enjoyed every retirement. But each time I've retired, I've taken a new occupation on. And hopefully, I have given merit to the communities and to the states in each one of those retirements. That is exactly what is going to happen when we bring these military veterans back and we get them in our state. They're not going to sit in their rocking chairs and throw their feet up and watch a little TV. They're going to be productive citizens of this state in a workforce that's going to be depleted because of the baby boomers. And we're going to have lots of expert witnesses today, so I'm going to close my lips here and use my ears a little bit, and I would ask co-author Severson for introductions and comments, Mr. Chair. Would that be all right with you?
Representative Severson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members, and Representative Hodge. Thank you. This is kind of the highlight of the governor's bill. This is a provision that it's not just about rewarding service members for their services. It's not just about trying to give them an edge up, as we heard a couple of last week on the targeted groups, because they have made significant sacrifices to serve their country. But this is about an investment in Minnesota's future. I think as we take a look at it, as Representative Hodge is talking about the baby boomers retiring and the big demographic shift that's taking place, these are the individuals, and I think you'll see in the testimony today, these are the individuals that we want to recruit to this state to fill that gap. It's a talent pool that every other state is going after. Even as we speak, Rhode Island has their initiative in to make Rhode Island's pensions tax exempt. So we will very quickly be a very, very small portion of the United States that taxes military pension incomes, and we will continue the decrease in number of retired military in the state, as we have seen in the last couple of years, a reduction of about 2,000. So we can stop the bleeding at this point if we will adopt this provision. And to start out this the testimony today, we have a couple of master sergeants who are located within the Minneapolis district. They're extremely talented individuals, a great example of the people that we want to recruit to this state. The first one that's going to come before us is Master Sergeant Rick Rattel.
Good morning.
Good morning, and state your name and who you represent for the record, please.
My name is Ricky Rattel. I'm representing myself. I've been in the Air Force 21 years. I've been in this state for 7 years, and I'm retiring in April.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Rattel, and welcome to the committee.
As I said, I'm retiring this April, and it's kind of scary and good time, and looking for a place to retire. My plan was to retire here. However, I've been planning on finishing up my college and getting a degree, finishing my bachelor's degree. Wisconsin offers 50% remission for veterans for tuition, and I can use my GI Bill in with that. Here in Minnesota, I'd have to use my GI Bill and probably pay some out of pocket. They also don't tax my retirement, and the tax here in this state is kind of high. Like I said, I've owned a house for 6 years. My property taxes have doubled, but the value of the house hasn't. So when I'm looking at the tax base and everything, my intention is to most likely move to Wisconsin because the pay rates and the jobs are about the same. And I'm a computer administrator and an information manager. I know a lot of people want my skills. So that's pretty much my intentions. If things were different and it wasn't taxed here, I'd stay here.
Okay, any questions or comments from members or Mr. Rattel? Okay, thank you, Master Sergeant Rattel.
Thank you for your time.
And Mr. Chair, members, next testifier will be Master Sergeant Michael Lester.
Excuse me, Representative Severson. Representative Wolfslager.
Chair, members, and Representative Severson and Haas, I'm just trying to get my arms around your amendment, and the fiscal note here, is this for the original bill or is this for the amended bill?
Mr. Chair and members, I'd like to defer to Mr. Clary for that, please.
Yes, ma'am, it's for the original bill. I don't see an amended bill.
I'm sorry, Chair members.
The amendment that Representative Haas moved has some dollar changes, correct?
Yes, ma'am, it does. For example, on page 3, line 35, striking everything after 5C, but active service, and then it effectively strikes and deletes all the language in the next line,
right.
336, and on down to the end of that,
right.
that paragraph.
I understand that. My question is, when I look at this revenue sheet of paper,
I see.
I'm trying to just quickly figure out.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Haas.
Thank you, Representative. Mr. Clary.
Yes.
I don't think we have a new note,
but we
do know the effects to the old note.
Right.
The new bill will put in a phasing, and it'll make it the same price at the end of all this, but it'll reduce the price in the first years. Would that be correct, Mr. Clary?
Mr. Clary. Yes, Mr. Chairman and members, that is correct. The fiscal note does not capture this amendment. But I don't think we're going to be discussing the fiscal note a lot this morning. We're not prepared to discuss that until subcommittee.
But we know in concept what the amendment does to the cost. Over the long run, the cost will be the same. In the short run, for tomorrow, if this goes in, next year when it becomes active, it will cost us a little less because it's being phased in. And what I wanted to do that for was because I think you're going to have way more good ideas than you can afford. And so I wanted to make this congruent to the governor's bill so it better financially fit the ability for the state of Minnesota to do this and many of the other good things that we want to do. So it'll cost us less at the beginning, but the same at the end.
And Mr. Chair.
Representative Severson.
And to that point, Representative Wolschlager, the numbers are going to be fairly close to what you've got in front of us. There's some debates right now as to whether or not the Coast Guard is going to be part of this process. And so those are some things that we'll have to talk about. But the idea is there is a four-year phase-in on this process, and the idea behind that process is because this should be a talent generator, that in the first couple of years we're going to see people, we're going to stop the bleeding, basically, of retirees out of the state and begin to bring retirees into the state. In fact, you'll see some numbers later on that basically say, if we stop the bleeding right now, the 2,750th person that we bring into this state begins to bring new revenue into the state, offsetting the losses that we have in taxes. And I believe that that's a very doable figure within the next 6 years.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Hollis.
Thank you. The reason it doesn't have an up-to-date note, it was a last attempt last evening, and the notes take time to bring to date. And also the next committee, if this is positively sent to the next committee is a finance committee. But when you're looking at finances and you're saying affordability, of course, who you put in, how fast you put them in, is a big factor. And there's a lot of policy that has to be decided that reflects cost. But you're a policy committee and not a finance committee. Had you been a finance committee, I would have either delayed this hearing or worked harder to get it. I would have not been able to get it, though, because of the time element. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Haas, and that's correct. This is a policy committee, so we don't need the fiscal notes for this committee, but it is good to review these things as far as policy affects the budget. Any follow-up, Representative Wolfsager? Okay. Representative Severson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members, and as Mr. Lester's coming up, I've also passed out an email that I got from a particular master sergeant who is over in Iraq right now. And it's a great depiction of our people who are on active duty are watching what the state of Minnesota does. If you take a couple seconds when you got some time just to read this, and basically saying that he's getting ready to retire as well. He's looking, he's watching from over in Iraq and determining where he wants to go when he retires. And so we've got a number of people here today who are basically saying we are a marketable asset. And Mike is one of those individuals. If you go ahead.
Good morning.
State your name and who you represent for the record, please.
My name is Michael Lester. I'm representing myself. I've got 21 years of active duty service. I'll retire at the end of this year with 22 years of active duty military service. I bring with me to Minnesota...
Excuse me, and I just wanted to say, Master Sergeant Lester, thank you and welcome to the committee. Go ahead.
Thank you. I bring with me to Minnesota many skills that I've traipsed the world to obtain. I'll currently, here in the next 3 months, I'll graduate with my bachelor's degree in information systems management. I have 10 years of systems engineering experience in the Air Force. So I think the quality of education and also the skill sets that I bring will fill the gap in Minnesota for the retiring workforce that's the baby boomers, as it were. I'd also like to say on the matter of retirement pay, I've earned my retirement not just in Minnesota for the last 5 years, but actually traveling the world for federal military service. And I will be earning, if I choose to stay in Minnesota, which at the moment is still, I'm still on the fence about that, but I will be earning a salary, annual salary of $80,000 to $120,000 a year with my skill set. So Minnesota will still be taxing me, but my retirement was earned elsewhere as well. So those are my feelings on that. At the current moment, Minnesota is not offering, exemption for tax on the retirement, and also educational benefits they're not equating to what other states can offer me.
Okay, any questions or comments from members for Master Sergeant Lester? Okay, thank you. Representative Severson.
Mr. Chair, members, next we have up Colonel Paul Adams. Is a U.S. Marine Corps retired colonel, and who has got a pretty compelling testimony. I think really brings home some of the things that we've been talking about in this previous bill.
Thank you, and state your name and who you represent for the record, please.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I'm Paul Adams, and I'm representing myself.
All right. Thank you, and welcome to the committee, Colonel Adams.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Representative Hawes, Representative Severson, and members of this committee, thank you for your time in allowing me to testify in support of HF 300 and the governor's legislative package that will make Minnesota a more military-friendly and attractive state. As introduced, I'm Paul Adams. I'm a retired Marine with over 27 years of active duty service. I am employed by the St. Paul Public Schools. I volunteer in the Minnesota wing of the Civil Air Patrol as the Director of Logistics for 28 squadrons throughout the state. I mentor an African-American junior high school male at Humboldt Junior High School under the Chosen to Achieve program. And I also act as a standardized actor, a patient, at the University of Minnesota supporting the medical school student education. I presently live in Prescott, Wisconsin, due to the exemption of income taxes on military retirement in that state. The great state of Minnesota needs to pass this legislation for many reasons, but today I would like to highlight three. One, the state of Minnesota has supported the military through their taxes. It is now time to return those dollars back to Minnesota in the form of a highly skilled, technically diverse, and job-ready workforce, which the state needs to remain a leader in the 21st century. Two, the state of Minnesota will gain residents who bring proven managerial skills and a high rate of volunteerism across a spectrum of nonprofit and volunteer organizations. And three, the state of Minnesota will gain veterans who, though already receiving a guaranteed income, will probably continue to work, as was just described and by my own life, thus supporting the tax base through the payroll tax, purchase of homes, cars, durable goods, and services. The state of Minnesota is failing to attract thousands of potential veterans, retirees, and their families. Spouses also contribute and work. Seeking to relocate to states that have a great quality of life, appeal to a wide range of goals and interests and needs, and Minnesota meets all of those. Military personnel are looking for states that support their desire to start a business, allow for the enjoyment of diverse recreational activities, have excellent schools, and that allow for tax benefits as may be given. Right now on the internet, there are numerous states that are actively encouraging military veterans to relocate. As was just described, the state of Rhode Island is moving forward. Yesterday, I pulled up on a military website. The state of Kansas is actively pursuing military veterans. The aerospace industry in Wichita, through the Hire a Hero program, is seeking veterans. Cessna, Boeing, and Raytheon. And Kansas does not tax military retired pay, and they have a very good program for veterans. State of Minnesota has provided America with citizen soldiers who have served this great nation in war and peace. From providing some of the first soldiers in the Civil War, to training Japanese American prisoners in World War II, to present day soldiers in the Balkans and the Gulf, Minnesota is a leader in service to country. The complete legislative package now under consideration will make this great state a leader in attracting and retaining military veterans and retirees looking to relocate to a military-friendly state. I called a retired Marine Corps friend of mine last night, John Egan, and he allowed me to use his name, who lives in Virginia. He is within 2 years of being able to relocate to any state in the nation. When I told him about this legislative package now under consideration, in Minnesota, he said that Minnesota just moved way up on the list of real possibilities for his relocation. And his wife has a mother who lives up in the Iron Range, so they have real ties to this state. I would like to, as was already indicated, I had in my notes here the letter that you received from Sergeant Major Prose, so I will not take the time to read that. You have that, but I had it in my notes. I came to Minnesota as a part of a long process, but basically eHarmony.com is what brought me here. And so the lady who I'm going with is down in Cottage Grove, and I live in Prescott, and so it was very fortuitous that Prescott was right close to a Cottage Grove. And so I'm running up Highway 61, doing things for Civil Air Patrol for the U of M. I also worked at St. Croix Sensory in Lake Elmo doing smell testing. So I had a wide variety of jobs here. I did not come into retirement from the Marine Corps to sit on my butt, but I want to do things and make things happen. I'm very glad to be in this area. I would love to move to St. Paul or Cottage Grove or somewhere closer to where I do my daily work, and I sincerely hope that this committee will pass this bill out in a favorable manner, and then it will get it to the governor for signature. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Any questions or comments from members? Representative Bigham.
Mr. Chair, Colonel Adams, I would encourage you to move to Cottage Grove, as that is my district, and it is a great town.
And sir, if one other point. I was stationed at one point in time at Scott Air Force Base in Illinois. I'm a resident of the Los Angeles area. That's where I grew up. I went to college at USC. So in some ways, you know, the crimson and gold between the Gophers and the Trojans, I have to make sure I look at the helmets at the football games. But when I was stationed in Illinois, I changed my state tax code to Illinois because Illinois has a very favorable package for their veterans, and I was able to do it because I was not going to get taxed out of life in California. So had I not have come here, I would have gone to Illinois. I was last stationed in Hawaii. I would love to have stayed there, but, you know, eHarmony.com brought me here.
Representative Detmer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Colonel Adams, you mentioned at the beginning that you represented yourself, but in reality you're representing all military people from the state of Minnesota. And I just heard you talk about Kansas. Well, I have a son and who is in the active army in Kansas, and I would love to have them come back to Minnesota with my grandkids. And I also have a son in the military in Texas, so I'd like to drive them back. So.
Well, and initially I first heard about the very embryonic efforts to get this changed here in Minnesota through a Navy chief at a car wash in Honolulu, Hawaii. So, I mean, this has gone back now 2 years. I arrived here in the summer of 2004. And as I was getting ready to leave Hawaii, I was beginning to hear this. And so I would hope that this would be the year that it would happen. I guarantee you, there are a lot of folks who look a year and a half to 2 years out where they're going to retire. They're looking for the very things that Minnesota has. So we need to get this done.
Okay. Representative Wardlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colonel Adams, you epitomize the need for this bill. And thanks to eHarmony.com, we have a quality person just
almost
like yourself coming here instead of Illinois. And my own son is a resident of Florida for the same reason. And and the two testifiers from the Air Force, we don't want to lose quality people like that. But we are, and we're going to, unless we do something about our tax structure for veterans. And thank you for your service. Hoorah.
Hoorah.
Anything further from members? Okay, thank you, Colonel Adams.
Yes, sir. And Mr. Chair, next testifier we have up is... Mr. Paul Wagner. Mr. Paul Wagner is one of the business individuals in our community that understands the importance of recruiting talent to the state. He is in the business of doing business, and in this process he's seen the promise of veterans coming to the state. He's started up a business called the Defense Alliance, which he's been funding, which really brings this issue to the marketplace. And that is what he's going to speak to a little bit today.
All right, thank you. And state your name and who you represent for the record.
My name's Paul Wagner. I represent small businesses here in the state of Minnesota through Minnesota Wire and Cable, a family business, through the Association of U.S. Army, a nonprofit, and Defense Alliance in Minnesota, an alliance I founded 2.5 years ago.
All right. Thank you, and welcome to the committee, Mr. Wagner. Go ahead.
It's my pleasure. Thank you. I think I'm a little bit of the token. I'm a civilian, as the civvies go, but I got five kids. I'm really passionate about America and freedom, and that's what drives a lot of what I'm going to say here. I grew up in Highland Park and, you know, went to St. Thomas, and, you know, I'm a Cretan kid, so that's as far as I got, as far as ROTC goes, et cetera. But, dad was a passionate fella, had nine kids, and he started this family business, you know, right at the kitchen table. So it grew to 220 employees. Last year I was at this table and I said, you know, I got a $6 million payroll and I want to grow it. My plan calls to double it. Well, I'm now at a $7.4 million payroll, you know, that we spend money right here in the cities. And so we've grown now. So it's a smaller company that found R&D projects, federal contracts, you know, as a fruitfulness towards bringing in money to build product that we wouldn't have dollars elsewhere to do. One of them is a stretchy wire program, taking USB cable and stretching it 25% and bouncing back. And we're the only ones in the world that do that right now. And it was done on the backs of the federal government allowing us, but now Medtronic wants it for their wearable defibrillators, et cetera. Our base of products is primarily medical. However, the medical companies or the medical infrastructure doesn't breed R&D dollars like the DOD and the federals do. So we've been able to capture that. The emblem I'm wearing today is the Association of U.S. Army. I needed design inputs. I needed influence of people in the know as to what products that they needed. I was primarily medical manufacturing, and so what I needed to do was breed it outwardly into the veterans and the veterans that are there, the fresh veterans. That was very important. So volunteered for that organization. I now have 950 members. 650 are veterans. So I have access to soldiers. And that's where all the passion, as far as the sweet spot of that, where am I going to go and retire after about 20, 25 years comes from. A consistency and a discipline of understanding the career path that these guys take. And I didn't hear it noted that not only taxing the wages, but also survivor benefits. These guys are looking forward, and that's a real deal to these guys in comparison to a lot of their occupations. So that's of influence. But that nonprofit gives me access to people in the know, the customers that I want to harvest and bring back here into Minnesota and employ. The Defense Alliance of Minnesota was a little organization that, you know, was an idea or a concept, but it then grew into 1,870 members, 255 companies, 125 different organizations in the last 2.5 years. So there's a groundswell of pent-up demand for this, quite frankly. I hired a leader out of Florida that came in and did great things with it. And so now it really is the voice of defense contracting here in Minnesota. Of those 255 companies, these aren't all Lockheeds and ATKs. 225 of them are 50 employees or less. But they've found the secret of bidding federal contracts. Part of our mantra is that we bid federal money. We bring in we bring very high-end jobs. These are really serious high-end engineering jobs. We hire veterans because they've got the best of design inputs, but they also have the best of leadership and training skills, education, maturity, all the other things that come along with it that we don't have to work on, and we save lives. We save American lives. It's a great little package that's been working and exploding with growth. That's my big picture, sir. I've got a variety of different perspectives. I'm not chasing these guys over here, you know, that deserve it. They do. But this is clearly a jobs bill. I'm chasing guys that are 20, 25. I keep hiring guys out of Pittsburgh and Florida and Hawaii, you know, to come into my organization. And when you do that, you know, these guys are serious players, and they've got a lot of talents that can go in a lot of different directions, but they have some linkage to home. Why these guys are important is because they bring in leadership. Through that Defense Alliance of Minnesota, now we brought in General Bodes, you know, from the Air Force Research Lab. He's got a $5.6 billion signature to him, 9,600 employees. Comes to Minnesota to give a little speech. Well, then what do we do with them that afternoon is we parade all these small businesses around him, you know. And so they this for $50,000 bred X number of jobs, and sir, you got this in 12 weeks, et cetera, et cetera. So we've had four of those major players that have come to Minnesota here in the last year. Another one coming in, the director of R&D for Homeland Security coming this summer, you know, downtown Minneapolis. We'll have him for a full day. But with it, he drags in his entourage of people. And I tell you, they come prepared, and they are severely disappointed with regards, they're shocked that the state of Minnesota, with all its innovation, doesn't do more with the DOD. It's really shocking. And they don't understand it. And these guys come in prepared. You know, it's not like they just come in to give a speech. They really come in. We always include the state in all of our presentations. We always include the University of Minnesota in all of our presentations, because those are the two big horses. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. The University of Minnesota brings in $680 million annually. That puts them about 7th or 8th in the country. You know, they only bring in $22 million from the DOD. The rest is the National Institute of Health. Our urging is not to bid bullets and bombs. It's to bid medical DOD money. It's where our sweet spot is. It's where my wearable computers and medical communication on the body, you know, efforts is all about. It's not flipping the culture, you know, within the state of Minnesota to contribute to saving lives. But these guys with major money to spend are changing the process of how they're dishing out cash nationally in D.C. The war is not going the way that they would like. There's a shift now to alter course towards more homeland security and more usable U.S. now technology. And within that, they're averaging 14 months for distribution of cash. They want to get that down to 90 days. They've asked the state of Minnesota to be an iNode, an information node here. That means they have 30 days to offer up an opportunity like a brownout with a helicopter putting a bunch of dust up in the air. It's a $100 million problem for them. You got 30 days to find companies locally here, you know, that can bid that. And then they start putting money back into the state of Minnesota in 30 days, a 90-day cycle. That's a huge shift. And they've asked the state of Minnesota to participate in that as an information node. That's a jobs breeder. And that's my story of the day. There's huge, serious money that's available to the state of Minnesota, and you've got this wonderful golden nugget of innovation and infrastructure already here to breed up those solutions and capture those monies, and we're not taking advantage of it. And that's my story. Not that you guys don't deserve it, because you do, and you know I go after veterans like crazy, but I'm looking for hiring of veterans and keeping them here in the state of Minnesota. So my belief is this is a jobs bill, not a they deserve it bill. That's my story. Thank you, sir.
Okay, Representative Wardlow.
Thank you, Chair. So you're saying that you're losing out on some opportunities to hire because of our tax structure here. They don't want to come to Minnesota. They'd work for you if we were different.
Every hire that I take in, you know, deals with... they've got options elsewhere, and it's you can hire them, sir, but you have to pay premium. So, I mean, that's part of the... You don't find them on the streets here.
Representative Wardlow.
So your salary has to make up the difference of our tax structure.
Absolutely, positively.
That's not very business friendly.
No, it's not. We are known as being a non-veteran friendly state. Absolutely.
Thank you. Okay, anything further from members? Okay, thank you, Mr. Wagner.
A serious thank you for the consideration. God bless.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. We've got one more testifier. Colonel Eric Allness is coming before us today and to speak to the issue of military pay exemption. And again, this is part of the whole governor's package and something that we need, not just as a recruiting tool, but kind of as a signal that Minnesota does consider the service of our men and women that are willing to step up to the plate, take time to service our country for freedom, are valuable to this state.
Okay, state your name for the record and who you represent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Colonel Eric Allness from the Department of Military Affairs.
Okay, thank you and welcome to the committee. And I need to point out that there's about 50 minutes left and we have three bills left to hear, so if you could keep your testimony as short as possible and for time's sake, I'd appreciate that. Thank you, and go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'll do that, and thank you for this opportunity to speak on the military pay portion of the bill. As Representative Severson stated, we look at this initiative as a benefit that encourages enlistment in your guard and the other reserve components, and more importantly, as a retention benefit for our service members. As citizens consider joining your guard, the emotional and psychological impact of a tax-exempt income far exceeds the cost of the program to the state. It's a tangible signal to new enlistments of the value of the prospective commitment to service. The retention benefit is a much more significant aspect of this initiative. The current slate of benefits were largely developed and implemented while your guard was a strategic reserve, basically waiting for the call to defend this nation in the event of a Soviet attack during the Cold War. With incremental changes and benefits provided by the state, after 9/11, your guard and the reserve has become an operational reserve, meaning we're actively engaged in the fight. During these times of increased deployment, service members return home to their family and employers are faced with a very difficult decision, whether to continue their membership in the guard or the reserve. This new benefit signifies the support of the legislature and the citizens of Minnesota of the importance of the decision to remain an active drilling member of the military and sustain the strength of your guard, providing the state and nation a viable force in times of need. I conducted a survey of deployed service members in Iraq, and tax-exempt income was by far the most important retention benefit that the state could offer troops in returning home from combat. It achieved a very important rating of 6.8 on the Likert scale, 1 being least important and 7 being the most important factor that helped influence their decision. Service members near universally viewed this as a critical factor in making the decision as to continue their membership in the reserve. The closest competing benefit was subsidized health care payments with the rating of 6 on the scale. And just as an aside, we ran some of the numbers on what it would be for paying the health care benefits, and that'd be in excess of $25 million a year. So as we looked at that earlier in the year, easily that priced itself out of a doable type objective. Finally, a question was raised in the past, why this benefit should be limited to the military and not be extended to other professions that nobly serve the community and state, such as fire, police, or teachers. And this can best be offered in two ways. First, no other service requires an extension separation from family and friends as the military. The 1st Brigade Combat Team will have been in country for 490 days by the time they return home, and almost 2 years away from family. To put this context, the 34th Infantry Division spent 520 days in combat in World War II, and that was more than any other unit in the U.S. military. I mention this not to minimize the service of the greatest generation, but to highlight the dedication of the current generation. Some members have deployed 4 times since 9/11 in support of our state and our nation. Second reason, approximately 90% of our force is traditional guard members or weekend drilling members who hold a civilian job in conjunction with their military membership. These patriots are serving in a civilian job and have taken the added step of serving their country through military service. Therefore, citizen service soldiers serving in the fire, police, or teaching roles can also benefit by the tax exemption by simultaneous membership in the Guard. A great percentage of Minnesotans from all ways of life have said they support our troops, and this is a tangible, patriotic, and visible way to show Minnesota supports the troops. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Questions or comments from members? Okay, thank you, Colonel Allman.
Hey, Mr. Chair, just a final note. You've seen the initiatives from this bill. You've seen the economic impact, the talent, the jobs, as was aptly put on this issue. This is the jobs bill. This is about looking for the future of Minnesota. Currently, Minnesota has less than half of the retirees proportionate to our population that we should have, and we're losing them. If we continue to do this in this vein, we are holding our hand out to a very talented pool and saying, you know what, we can make it without you, and I don't think we can. And so I think this bill is absolutely essential to the success of Minnesota's future by recruiting an exceptional talent pool, and I would hope for the support of the committee, and I would turn it over to my co-author.
Just a moment, please. Representative, take a step.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate the great testimony today. I think this has been probably the best testifiers, best testimony we've had in this committee. And I think, members, this is probably the most important bill we'll pass this year at the legislature. You've heard about the impact that it can have around our state and just the importance of it. And I want to tell you, this bill passed our committee last year, and I'm sure it will pass today, and it passed state government finance, and it passed the House floor, it passed all the committees in the Senate, passed the Senate floor. Where we lost this bill was in conference committee. And the people who were on the conference committee did not hear this testimony. So I really urge all of you today who have heard this important testimony to talk to our colleagues, and especially once it gets to conference committee, tell them the importance of passing this bill, because I just think it is the most important bill we will pass this year at the legislature. Thank you to both the authors for all your hard work on this.
Representative
Doty. Very quickly, thank you, Mr. Chair. Before I got this job, I was a senior advocate. We would get calls from all over the country from people potentially coming to Minnesota. On a couple of those occasions, I know for certain that when they got to the part about military benefits taxation, they didn't come here. I want to echo your sentiments. This was excellent testimony. I want to thank you both for your service and for your information today, and thank you guys for putting this together.
Representative Hawes, just before you finish up, we are getting short on time, but if anybody from the audience would like to comment on the bill, I can give you about a minute or so if anybody wants to say something. Okay. Representative Hawes.
Mr. Chair, I've worked in a couple different forms of government and been around a little bit, and what we heard today is pretty awesome testimony. But to allow citizens to give that testimony resonates the importance of our government. in a different life, in a past different life, I was a coach. During that time, I put a few records up. I've coached state and national titles in 5 different sports. Not because of my knowledge of sport, but my knowledge of recruiting the very best I could put on a team. And we want Minnesota to be a champion. And if you want Minnesota to be a champion, you must recruit the very best. And this is the very best. And this is the very best. And we need them in Minnesota. Let's pass this on and let's get it done this year.
Okay, Representative Hawes renews his motion that House File 300 be recommended to pass and be referred, as amended, if I stand corrected, as amended, and be referred to Ag Policy, Rural Economies, and Veterans Affairs Policy Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion prevails. Bill passes. Next on the agenda is House File 390, Representative Rukavina.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bingham.
I will move House File 390 and have it be referred, passage, and have it be referred to Ag Policy.
Okay, Representative Begum moves that House File 390 be recommended to pass and be referred to Ag Policy, Rural Economies, and Veterans Affairs Policy Committee. Welcome, Representative Rukavina.
Thank you, members, for the opportunity to be here. House File 390 has been around for 3 years, and just want to give you a little quick history of it. I was asked to introduce this by a constituent who had seen a similar plan in Florida regarding disabled veterans. So I introduced the bill in 2004, and I didn't get a hearing from Representative Abrams, and I offered it up as an amendment on the House floor, and it passed 134-0. And in 2005, it was in the omnibus tax bill on the House side. It didn't come out of conference committee when the whole mess of the session happened, and we went till July, whenever it was. And last year it was in the omnibus bill too, and it didn't come out of conference committee. I don't understand why. What the bill does, basically, members, is it adds a full exemption for property taxes for homesteads of veterans who are 100% disabled as a result of service-connected disability. The exemption also extends to spouses should the veteran predecease them. And it saves about I've got a couple of fiscal notes here. I apologize that you don't have any, but it's a policy to me here. But it saves about I have different fiscal notes from past years where it saves everywhere from about $1.7 million a year to $1.2 million a year for the state, because then they currently would be qualifying for a circuit breaker, which, because they're not going to be paying any property taxes at all. The state would save that money. So I think it's a really good bill. I think that anyone that's permanently disabled, 100% disabled as a result of a war injury or injury in the service, this is something that they deserve. So, members, it's short, sweet, and to the point, and it's passed, and I don't understand why I'm here, why I got to go to Ag Policy and Veterans Affairs, because I just went to taxes in previous years. But I guess it's our new structure. I'm surprised I'm not going to the Criminal Justice Committee.
Representative,
your support.
We try not to get personal.
Representative Rukavina, this committee is very supportive of veterans' bills, and so I think it's good to have members hear it, and they do talk to other members, so it's a good structure for support for veterans' bills. But any questions or comments from members for Representative Rukavina?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Olson.
Very briefly, Representative Rukavina, on Monday you'll have a chance to vote to change that if you like.
The snowstorm might keep all of us away.
Representative Wardlow.
Mr. Chair, where is this bill going from here?
It goes to the main committee, the egg policy rule.
It's not going to the property tax division?
Eventually, it will get there, but since this is a division, it has to go to the main committee first.
Oh, okay, and you'll probably refer it to them, or they will.
Yeah. Anything further from members? Representative Bingham.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Hodge.
Thank you. Just very quickly, Representative Recovina, this is for permanent 100% disabled, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Okay, anything further, members? Representative Recovina, would you like to renew your... Oh, excuse me, Representative Bingham, would you like to renew the motion?
Yes, Chair. Renew my motion to... have this pass and move on to the Egg Policy Committee.
Okay. Representative Bingham renews her motion that House File 390 be recommended to pass and be referred to Egg Policy, Rural Economies, and Veterans Affairs Policy Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion prevails. Bill passes.
Thank you, members, very much.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be in front of the committee. It was quick. You had an hour and a half.
Okay, next bill up on the agenda, House File 142, Representative Wardlow. Representative Wardlow, would you like to move your bill to get it before the committee?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move that this bill, House File 142, pass and be recommended to Ag Policy Committee.
Okay. Representative Wardlow moves that House File 142 be recommended to pass and be referred to Ag Policy, Rural Economies, Veterans Affairs Policy Committee. Representative Wardlow, please explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Apologize. I got a phone call this summer from a constituent. It was just in passing, and he said, you know, he started complaining to me. He said, you know, when I file for my property tax refund, I'm a disabled veteran, and he said, I have to claim my disability pay on the form, and that will reduce my refund. And he said, I don't think that's right. And then later on, I got an email from someone in greater Minnesota saying the exact same thing. And then I got another email saying the exact same thing. So I started thinking, oh, maybe there's a bill here. And being a veteran myself, I had empathy for that. So what my bill does, regardless of what percent you're disabled, if you're receiving disability pay from a military-related condition, you don't have to claim that disability pay on the form. And so you don't lose some of your property tax refund. And that's basically all it does. It kind of dovetails into Representative Recovina's bill. His is for 100% disabled, and mine includes everybody. And I don't have the fiscal note. I put in two requests for one, and I'm still waiting for it. But this is not a finance committee, so I didn't worry about it that much.
Okay, Representative Severson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Wardlow, thanks for bringing this bill forward. I think one of the things maybe you could speak to is the disability pay currently taxed by the federal government or the state?
Representative Wardlow.
Mr. Chair, Representative Severson, yes, it is. For property tax purposes, it is.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Severson.
That's so for the regular pay for a disabled veteran, that is not taxed on a normal income, and I guess would argue, if it's not taxed on a normal income, why are we taxing on the property tax side? And so I think this is goes to Representative Wardlow's point, is that, you know, why are we doing this? So I agree, and I appreciate him bringing this bill forward.
Anything further from members? Okay. Anybody from the audience would like to speak to the bill?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Richard Jenkins, Sr., Senior Vice Commander of the Military Order of Purple Heart. I reside in South Washington County, exclusive in Newport.
Thank you and welcome to the committee, Mr. Jenkins. Go ahead.
Thank you. I just wanted to address the committee that I do pay property tax. I'm 100% disabled, combat veteran of Vietnam. In fact, I do get a discount on my taxes because I'm 100%. And they do cut me a 10% discount, but that's better than nothing. I know no other reason that why they should tax me in regards to getting a refund. That's all I wanted to share with the committee. If okay. there is anything further you know that I have not revealed to you, please let me know. But I do know that I do get a discount, and I had to bring the letter from the VA to South Washington County, coordinates.
Okay. Any questions or comments from members for Mr. Jenkins? Okay, thank you. Anybody else would care to speak to the bill? All right. Representative Wardlaw.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just urge your support to pass this bill on to the Ag Policy Committee.
Okay. Would you like to renew your motion, Representative Wardlaw?
I do renew my motion. I thought I did, but I'll say it again.
It's really renewed now.
Thank you. Thanks for doubly renewing that.
Doubled it up.
Yeah. That means it goes twice as fast.
Yeah, there you go. He'll put it on fast track. Thank you, Representative Wardlow. Representative Wardlow renews his motion that House File 142 be recommended to pass and be referred to Ag Policy, Rural Economies, and Veterans Affairs Policy Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion prevail, bill passed.
Thank you, members. My favorite committee.
One more bill? Okay, next bill up on the agenda, House File 284, Representative Ruth.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Finkelstedt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's my honor to move that House File 284 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Ag Policy Committee.
All right. Thank you. Representative Ruth, welcome to the committee. And do you have any author's amendments?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Would you like to move that first, get the bill in the shape you want?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move that amendment to put the shape in the bill that the author would like.
Okay. Do we have the amendment? Representative Finkelstedt moves amendment H-284-A1. Any discussion to the amendment? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Okay. Representative Ruth, explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Thanks for the opportunity. And as you see, the amendment does just delete Section 1 because it's not needed. We already have that in statute. This is a small but very important bill. I received a letter from one of our city council members, and I'll just read part of what they said. They said, I asked this because we had a property owner appear before the city council after receiving notice of assessments against their property for the road constructed along their property, stating they had a hardship against paying the assessments because her husband was serving in Iraq. I think it would be a great benefit for our members of the National Guard or the Military Reserve to be able to apply for deferment of special assessments while they're serving our country. This bill authorizes local units of government to defer the payment for special assessments. They still need to pay it. It's not forgiven, but it is a deferment for the homestead property, and that would be, again, for either National Guard or, of course, Military Reserves. And it would also be that they would need to be serving for a period of a year or more. This does give the local units the option. Now, there are some accountability measures with it. Number one, they have to pay back, of course. And secondly, it's up to the cities to pass an ordinance or some type of established guidelines that they are determining this as a disability or a hardship. So I have some expert witnesses here, and I'll call on Colonel Aldis first, if that's okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
If you'd state your name again, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colonel Eric Aldis with the Department of Military Affairs.
All right. Thank you, Colonel Aldis, and welcome to the committee again, and go ahead.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Currently, we have about 3,300 service members from the Minnesota National Guard deployed overseas. And one thing that we've found that's very important to see is maintaining the sense of normalcy for the service members and their families during the deployment. A special assessment coming in and imposed upon these families during deployment sometimes can be the camel that breaks a, the straw that breaks the camel's back. And so what we're asking for in this bill is a deferment. The service members are benefiting from those special assessments and the increase in property value, so certainly they need to pay for that just like any other citizen needs to pay for it. But what we're asking for is that it be delayed to a time when they can more better afford the families back together and they can accomplish it in a more coherent manner and preserve the normalcy while they are deployed. Oh, and then finally, too, we are in contact with that family member and working with them to help them through the challenges they're facing at this time.
Okay. Any questions, comments from members? Okay, go ahead. State your name for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Jennifer O'Rourke. I'm with the League of Minnesota Cities, and my comments are probably a little bit better aimed at the Tax Committee, but since this bill is before you today and we wanted to help out Representative Ruth with her bill, here I am.
All right. Thank you, and welcome to the committee, Ms. O'Rourke.
Real quick, Mr. Chair, we just wanted to let you know the League of Minnesota Cities certainly does not have a problem with this bill at all. We're glad that the city of Owatonna came forward with this request, and Representative Ruth was able to get a bill drafted for it. But I think it amends a really good section of law because it already deals with the senior deferral program, and it's probably a very appropriate place to bring this forward. And again, it keeps the local control angle for cities and counties on it, and would have them go through their normal process with setting up some local guidelines and probably the public hearing process. So that's it, and I stand for questions.
Okay, question. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Ruth, I'm curious about the year requirement, if that's going to be a problem for some. Is that a common time frame, or what about somebody that's just a month or two short, still in the same situation? Is that a, can you just expound upon that a little bit? Just, I'm curious as to whether or not that could be a problem.
Mr. Chair, Representative Olson. Well, that's a very good point. And, in fact, after I had dropped this bill in, I did hear from one of our constituents, in fact, that was having also a hardship. And with being there, he said sometimes they're, this is a military reserve veteran, and that they're pulled out just before the year it does come up. So he said in his son's situation, that would be an issue. I haven't heard from anybody else. But it is a very valid point. We were just trying to put some accountability measures on the bill. So up to the committee, I guess, is what you would choose to do with that. I would prefer to have, I guess that's something that, too, might allow the city to be able to work with that. This gives the city the authority to do it. Right now, the constituent that we have is probably going to, hopefully, the problem is going to be fixed because we're hoping their husband is coming home this summer. But, yes, as Colonel Allness said, we're trying to find some ways to help her always. But it was difficult for the city to be able to do that since there wasn't anything in statute, and this would give them the opportunity to do that if they chose to. But the year issue is something, as I say, I had one person comment about that.
Okay, follow up, Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just throw it out for discussion. If 6 months is if the still provide accountability, yet cover more people and not have anybody. I mean, a year is actually quite a while. I'll just throw it out for thoughts from other members.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Colonel Aldis would like to.
Okay, Colonel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representatives, I guess initially as we look at the Army policy is shifting to one-year deployment, so it would cover members of the National Guard and Army Reserve. But, Representative, you're very correct. Other services typically deploy for periods less than a year. I think of the Marine Corps Reserve is typically a 7-month deployment, and the Air Force Reserve, Air Guard, they deploy on shorter time periods. So from that perspective, I guess I was a little Army-centric initially in my thoughts in looking at that, but certainly looking at a short amount of time might be advantageous, especially for like the Marine Reserve and other services.
Okay, Representative Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate the insights, Colonel. If council could give us a 6-month amendment, I'd like to move that.
Yes, and Mr. Chair, I certainly would find that favorable. And in fact, maybe you would even prefer to not have the statement of any particular time in there at all, but I guess I'd refer to council for that.
Mr. Cleary.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members, the amendment would read that, that Representative Olson moves to amend House File 284. As follows, page 2, line 2.31, delete 1 year and insert 6 months.
Mr. Chair, members,
and to that point, I think there are many triggers that take place in federal statute and state statute that are 181 days of active duty, which I think triggers the entitlements for federal benefits as well. And I think I would make this coincide with that provision.
Okay. Does everyone have the amendment? Can you repeat it one more time, Mr. Cleary, to make sure we're all
right? Mr. Chairman, the amendment would read that Representative Olson moves to amend House File 284, as introduced, as follows. On page 2, line 31, delete 1 year and insert 6 months.
Okay. Everybody understands the amendment?
Yeah.
All in favor of Representative Olson's amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Amendment is adopted.
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Hawes, did you have a...
I just wanted to compliment you, Representative, on such a balanced bill. I got this little moderate compass, and I like to see things in balance, and it made me feel really good, so thank you.
Yeah, what well, I do.
Anything further, members? Anybody in the audience who would like to comment on the bill? Okay. Any closing comments, Representative Ruth?
Well, Mr. Chair, members, we just I appreciate your taking time to hear this today, and I do think it is a very important bill. As I say, it is small, but it really will help a lot of our members and the cities. All the local units of government have total control over this, so I would appreciate your support.
Okay. Representing us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And it's just looking at the bill to see if it has any state fiscal note impact. I don't think that it's going to, and I think perhaps maybe when it gets to the next committee, it could possibly go straight to the floor. I'm looking at the effective date on page 3, and it would go to taxes as well, of course, but this bill could potentially travel on its own and get enacted sooner than May. So that it could become effective right away. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'd like to renew my motion that House File 284, as amended, be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Ag Policy Committee.
Okay, thank you. Representative Tingle said renews her motion that House File 284 be recommended to pass and be referred to Ag Policy, Rural Economies. Thank you. I'm reminded that I have to say as amended, and thank you. Representative Tingle said removes their motion and House File 284 be recommended to pass as amended and be referred to Ag Policy, Rural Economies, Veterans Affairs Policy Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? A motion prevails. The bill passes.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Olson.
Before they leave, I'd just like to have a comment. Representative Ruth and Colonel, if someone could check to see if there are any deployments that are even less than 6 months, out of fairness to everybody, I think it would be wise to actually look at that. I was just registering the comments that Representative Ruth made about actually preferring not to have any time frame in there. If it's common practice that there are deployments considerably less than 6 months, I think it would be wise to look at this again in another committee. And I just wanted to leave that comment.
Okay, thank you. We'll check that out. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. Is that awesome?
Thank you.
Again today, I want to welcome all the veterans who are here, retired and those who retired from military service but will continue working. We're glad to see you every week. Anything further from members before we adjourn? Yes, just a reminder that these bills will be heard in the Ag Policy Committee next week, and so everyone's aware of that. On Wednesday at 8 in the morning. Anything else from members? Okay, meeting adjourned.